You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Host Dr. Michelle. You are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. We are walking roads and roads and roads and roads back and forth. Have you ever been down those hairpin turns on mountains? Oh my gosh. I think they've taken away a lot of them these days because we have all our big highways and things, but I've been down a few in my life that have been pretty hair-raising. And sometimes life just kind of throws that at you, doesn't it? So I'm right before we started to be on the air, I'm writing something very, to me, heartfelt. Of course, I'm texting it. Like, really? I'm texting this? But I'm writing this thing. You all know, well, you've been with me on my own journey with Jason. Jason had for a long time, he had a Facebook, Jason's Journey, probably still does. It's probably on there. I know it's on there. So you can log on and take a look. It's open to everyone. Jason's Journey. And so I'm on my own journey with him. And I received a text this morning from his wife that told me that they went off to the emergency room yesterday to see about getting another transfusion because he was, as you all know, sent home with hospice or with the option of hospice available with only days to weeks. And that was way back in August sometime. And my time with him there, which I don't know whether I've told you much about because I just got back, was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And he was like in the car, he's driving us around in his pickup truck and going too fast, talking on the phone. I think I told you all this, talking on the phone to people who were just given days to weeks to live as he had been weeks before. And he's got his lead foot on the accelerator. We're going down these two lane highways. He's talking on the phone to someone saying, you know, I was just given days and in the hospital, and he's talking to him about it. He wants to go and visit him, and we, you know, we go here, we go there, we go off to the lake, and here he is. I mean, he's just full of life. And as he's talking, I'm thinking, well, he was given that diagnosis like just over a month ago. It's like, this is surreal, but it isn't surreal. Our life is supernatural, period. We're living a supernatural life in finite bodies. And it's hard to get your mind around unless you just sit down, shut up and go along for the ride and say, wait a minute. Yeah. You know, I don't have to keep explaining these things in ways that make sense to me. So I got an email or a text this morning from Alicia, saying that indeed, they went to the emergency room for the possibility of another transfusion and was told that he could have it, but it probably wouldn't be doing a lot of good. And I don't understand exactly the ins and outs of it. It's what's happening in their life right now. And he chose not to have it. And so he's home and wants to be home. And, you know, who knows what the next step is. And so I'm writing to him. And, you know, I could just tell you what I was writing. So I'm writing to him and I wrote to her first, you know, just texted her and hope that we can talk and sometime today a little bit. And then I was writing him. And as I'm writing him what I wanted to say, and I did spend some really good time with him when I was there, my battery went out. And I knew I had, I'm looking at the little red thing. I knew I had like 2%, 4%. And I'm thinking I can get this in. And it just died. My phone just died. And I thought, really, Michelle, this is your This is your life. Are you ever, ever going to learn to think that one step ahead? I have had those lessons so many times in life where I'm late for a meeting because a meeting of chairmen of departments. I'm a chairman and I'm late because I can't find my sock. And this was years ago, like, yeah, I don't know, 20 years ago. And I'm thinking, really? Can't you just put your sock in a drawer like everybody else? And then there wouldn't be an issue here. I mean, you got it together enough to be a chairman of a department and you can't find your sock. And how is that going to fly? You were not running off to some great emergency or helping someone do something amazing. You were trying to find your sock. So I'm writing this thing from my heart and my battery goes out. And so right back, I got 4 minutes before I have to get on the air and I plug my phone back in thinking, okay, I can finish this. And it's gone. It's absolutely gone. So maybe I'll spend a little time talking to you about what I was writing. And maybe I'll read to you the things I wrote just to help you know where I'm at. But I will bring this in to reflect on the program we had yesterday, all about Jennifer's birthday and how the disappointments in her past brought her to tears, crying many a birthday alone in a bathroom, and how she changed things up a bit by saying, you know what? It's a waste of time doing this. I'm not going to waste another birthday. I'm going to play it forward a little bit. I'm not going to waste another birthday in a bathroom crying by expecting something from other people. And what a beautiful prelude, little did I know, into today's show, into today's program, because that truly is the lesson for me and for all of us. Thank you, Jennifer. Because it is a pragmatic, down-to-earth, you and I today, most likely, God willing, are going to deal with birthdays, that we're going to deal with going to the grocery store. I'm dealing with a sprained muscle. You know, it's like, okay, how much time am I going to lay on the concrete floor before I can finish putting on my makeup? Or how am I going to get to the store? I need to get some dog food. All those little things of life. And that we worry about the big questions later. Well, the big questions are now. They're happening now. There is no time in God. The big questions are now, and they are in the little things. So I want to bring that all together. Maybe I can give to you the lessons that I learned that I was trying to tell Jason he taught me. And we can do this all together. I think that would be very cool. I also want to read to you a little thing that came around. I told you about Father, I think his first name is Richard Rohr, who is a bit of a mystic himself. He's alive. He is a monk, our brother. I don't know exactly what he is. I think he's Franciscan, but I think he's a little bit of a hermit now, if I'm not mistaken, in some place in New Mexico. But he has written many, many books. The Catholic Church kind of didn't like him for a while. I don't know what, but he's not kicked out. So he's saying mass and doing all this stuff. He's pretty awesome. And when I found out about him, I did subscribe to his little newsletter that comes around. And today's, I only got one. It was yesterday and it wasn't that pertinent to me, or I didn't do it for me. So I thought, well, I don't know if I should have even signed up, but just another thing in my inbox. And I opened up this morning and it's on his week three of the Trinity and it fits right in. It's like, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is, you know, praise and glory to you. Praise and glory to you, Holy Spirit, totally, because it is a supernatural world. It's a supernatural world. I do know, I've seen this many times, and I think, what should I read first? What should I do first for you? Because I want to bring this in to make sense to you, because it makes sense to me, but it doesn't always mean it'll make sense to you. So, let me see. I think what I'll do is I'll read one thing to you first that I wrote to Alicia just when she told me. I said, and this is just something that, you know, again, it's not, believe me, it's lacks a lot in it's not a piece of writing. It's just my thoughts when she wrote and said that he did send, was sent home and he wants to be home for Jason. I'm talking about now. And I said, Alicia, I love you both so much. I know and love more than I can say that Jason, out of love and his caretaking heart, waited for the circle of hearts entrusted to him by God to come together in the way that serves God's pure love. It is a circle that enriches me and all of us so much, and I'm grateful and thankful that I was sleeping in your home and speeding down the two lane with Jason behind the wheel and on the porch with the cigarettes and coffee and the nail polish and the tattoo masters. Jason and you are the hosts of souls and love and connection, and I am forever in your debt as a spirit that connects with you. I love you so very much. Well, that was the beginning of what I was talking to her about. And what I really could have said, and I'll tell you other stuff on the other side of the break, but I'll start now. I'm going to interpose real quickly before the break with just the first sentence of Robert Wuhr says, it way better than anything I could say. Love is just like a prayer. It is not so much an action that we do, but a dialogue that already flows through us. We don't decide to be loving. Rather, to love is to allow our deepest and truest nature to show itself. So that was the beginning I just saw of Father Richard Rohr on his Trinity Week 3. Friday, September 30th, 2016. This connects. Holy Spirit, you're so cool. This totally connects for all of us. So I want you to ponder on love. What is love to you? What is love to you? And we will connect that to birthdays and practical stuff, as well as the more ethereal and supernatural on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You are with me, Dr. Michelle Live.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Are back. We're walking this road. We haven't fallen off the cliff yet. Sometimes you all kind of keep me as I slip off, like they do in those wonderful action movies where you see the huge chasm and you've got me by one finger. And so that really helps. And you do too, Mozart, my dog. Yes, he's right here saying, "What about me?" I don't know why he's right here. He's probably needing something. I really can't figure it out. But anyway, you know what? You're going to hear me talk about a slice of life. No, lay down. He has to lay down because he wants to do something I'm not privy to exactly what it is. So before the break, I was reading to you from Richard Rohr. And when I say that you all help me, like coming off like by one finger, it is true sometimes. Just connecting with you all sometimes is life-giving. You have no idea what gives life. Nothing. You don't know. I'm telling you, you don't know. We were talking a bit about Jennifer and her taking her years and patterns, lifetime She's got children, high school children. She's got, you know, she's got a career. So she's had lots of birthdays. I won't say how many, not too many. And they've repeated a pattern. Disappointment, disappointment. The very people you love, the very people you love and you want so badly to connect with are not connecting with you. Well, this gets us to kind of redefine family, doesn't it? I want to get into that too, because that's something that has taught me redefining family. Why and how? Is it a, you know, just a pathetic attempt at people who don't have family? Or is it the truth that God has a family, that you are part of God's body? That in reality, although we say it and go, oh, isn't that cool? We still think our family is our family. There are people that are that we caretake and that caretake us. That's our little families. And they're super important. And we are tended. We are the gardeners. Somebody gardened us into existence. And we are the gardeners for others. That's what the deal is. Jesus himself says, unless you leave your mother and father, don't talk to me. Don't bother. You have to leave your mother and father. And that is not just what, you know, you don't get to choose exactly what that means. It's pretty plain. You have to understand that those ties, it's almost like the tomato has to leave the vine eventually to fulfill itself. So does a strawberry. It just is. It's sad and it's lonely. And it's isolative in a way because you don't want that to happen. You don't want to be disappointed by the ones that you love the most and should love you the most, should honor, care, loyalty, fidelity. But, you know, that's what happens. And of course, we have Christ to show us this. I am rambling today because a lot has happened since I got back and since I left. A lot has happened, not the least of which is I sprained a muscle. But a lot has happened. I've this going on with Jason. My son's uncle passed away day before yesterday. I found out yesterday after the program. And, you know, there's so much happening, so much in that redefines families, that redefines loyalty, that redefines honor, that redefines love. So I want to get into some of that. So let's listen to, and I would like to be able to say, because I don't remember what it was I was going to say, or what I had written. I wrote this huge text and it was lost when I ran out of battery. But I did say, talking about how we redefined ourselves and what we don't know, what we have until we're faced with the transformation in front of our eyes. And another thing I did write to him, and I'm reading this to you because this is how I'm seeing things now. So think about it, about you and people you know. You don't know these people. You don't know my relationship with them or who they were. But I want you to imagine in your own life because I'm bringing into my own heart, maybe not to him, the whole idea of the procession of saints and what God asks us to do. In heaven and on earth, as it is in heaven, so it is on earth. Little Teresa, I will do much more for you in heaven than I will on earth. And we think, well, that was little Teresa because she was really awesome and she was pure and she loved God and she didn't sin. And she was, well, she sinned, but she didn't, you know, she was one of the better ones. And then she was devoted her life to God. And so she didn't have to make all these horrible mistakes that hurt all these other people. And she died early and she could just sprout wings and bless us all with roses. And I don't mean to be trite because I think that's cool because I've had some roses show up in some interesting times. But so I wrote again to Jason talking about when I was there, he asked me, how do I prepare to die? And being the long-lived person who saw many a person die, both with my own family and just profound and holding the hands of complete strangers that were alone during my training in the middle of the night, seeing them young, seeing them old, babies. My learned answer was, I don't know. It was, I don't know, you know, and that's what I said. I don't know. It's like, okay, great. So anyway, so part of that I was reflecting on slightly this morning and really fast. And I said, you know, Jason, all life is supernatural. There is no earthly reason or explanation as to how I know you, love you, and needed you myself. In the war, your father was a radio man, a vital communicator between life and death, between safety and danger, between souls making it back to each other. Your father gave me and Doc to you, and you to me and Doc. That was another soldier. Your open arms, and eventually Alicia's too, saved me more times than I can tell you. Our three-point connection, west, that was me, middle, that was him, and east was the other veteran, kept me grounded during groundless times. All that is pure love. And then I was going on to talk about God and love, and hopefully I'll get to that again, because that's what ended up getting lost. So now let's transport. I hope I'm not losing y'all. Let's transport over to Richard Rohr today. I haven't read his whole thing. I just saw it, but it seemed to really fit. And this is God is for Us, Friday, September 30th, 2016, Father Richard Rohr, the Franciscan. I'll reread what I read to you yesterday. Love is just like prayer. It is not so much an action that we do, but a dialogue that already flows through us. We don't decide to, quote, be loving, unquote. Rather, to love is to allow our deepest and truest nature to show itself. The Father, quote unquote, doesn't decide to love the, quote, Son, unquote. Fatherhood is the flow from Father to Son, 100%. The Son does not choose now and then to release some love to the Father or to the Spirit. Love is the full modus operandi between all three of them. Remember, these classic names are just placeholders. You can replace them with any form of endearment that works for you, but make sure something works. Now, in general, remember, he's talking about the Trinity. The love in you, which is the Spirit in you, always somehow says yes. And then he references 1 Corinthians 1:19-20. Love is not something you do. Love is someone you are. It is your true self. Love is where you came from, and love is where you're going. It's not something you can attain. It's not something you can work up to as much as something you allow yourself to fall into. It is the living presence of God within you, often called the Holy Spirit, or what some theologians name uncreated grace. You can't manufacture this by any right conduct. You can't make God love you one more ounce than all God already loves you right now. You can go to church every day for the rest of your life, but God isn't going to love you any more than God already loves you right now. You cannot make God love you any less either, not an ounce less. You could do the most terrible thing and God wouldn't love you any less. You would probably love yourself much less, however. And we're going to connect those dots when we come back from their side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You are walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today, Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We have updates on Jennifer's birthday, which we will get to because this all so ties in. Birthdays, death, happiness, others, supernatural, where you are in this earth, why you are in this earth, your mental health, your physical health. It's all just, wow. I mean, and I'm trust me. Well, how can I say trust me? I mean, that's a hard one. I do get it. I do know. I've been there. When you're so down, you can't see up. You just can't. You've instead of rose-colored glasses where everything looks fabulous, you are in the most gray-colored glasses you can imagine, or black-colored glasses. You just can't go. You can't see anything. That's where I say, just get some help. Reflect back on any word you want, and if no other word comes from these years of programs, it's like, get something to get you out of the hole. Get. Not an addiction. That's right there. We put that there. But get some help. Get, because if you just say to yourself, Dr. Michelle said, if I just get out of the hole. Now, you could say to yourself after a month, well, this isn't so great. I'm worse off than I was before. You've got, if you have a mustard seed of faith, which I tell you, they're small because someone put one in a frame for me once and they are tiny. Even if you don't get it, you can't feel it, you don't grasp it, and you could care less what saint went through darkness and what saint didn't, although sometimes it helps people, but some people at that point don't care about anything. I don't care who suffered and who got better. I don't care that my life is so much better off than that other person's over there. I don't care. I just don't care. I just don't have anything. I have nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's losing a will. That's what they call the depression, the despair. That is depression and anhedonia. I don't care about anything. I don't want anything. I don't like anything. Nothing is going to affect me, good or bad. No shock you can give me. No joy you can give me. I am just a flat line inside. Lots of people get there and they revive. You can sometimes there's as many ways that it happens as there are human beings on this earth. And it's not always get up by the bootstraps, or sometimes it is, or do this or do that. Brother Groeschel, Father Groeschel had some great thoughts, you know, that especially in the mornings when that happens, the best thing you can do is get out of bed. Just don't lay there. Don't let that mind start going. And, you know, get out of bed, do something for others, walk around the block, or go to a store and engage with somebody, you know, hi, how are you? Thank you for the coffee. You know, just different things like that. And you may not feel it, but if you walk those steps one foot in front of the other, you will, as Jason said about watching his own father, you will have what you need to get through it. That's what he told me in 2007. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly. Now, if any of you are thinking, well, but he's dying of cancer. Well, it's actually, he's not dying of cancer now, but what he's dying. We're all dying. And I don't mean that cavalierly. He got what it took to walk through it to his natural end. And he's not ended yet. So he's home. So we have to Jesus was 33. My brother was 33. He's 34. It's painful. It's awful. You look at it and think this shouldn't be. And the people that are around him, no, I need a brother. I want this. I want that. I've had people say, my own brother-in-law, I told you, was paralyzed from the chest down since he was 21 years old, Vietnam War, and he's almost 70. And he passed away 2 days ago. And as my sister-in-law, ex-sister-in-law said to me yesterday, you know, there's part of me, I want to invent a, she's very funny, by the way, but she said, I want to invent a three-pronged life support system where I just didn't want to let go of his hand. So I want to do it so I can have my mom, my dad, and Terry. I said, my couch will sit three people. So I just keep them around long enough so I can hold their hand. Now, some of you might think, oh, my God, how gross is this? But she's discussing what we all feel. I thought the same myself. There was a moment where I jokingly said to my brother, I don't care if you're suffering. I just want you around when we're both 80, you know, and I did care if he was suffering. Of course I did. But, you know, there's a part of you that says this, I don't care about any of this. I just want this hand to hold. I want this person with me. And you know that it's not going to be, it's so painful and it rips. It's like ripping a little root out of a ground, or like, when my brother died, as my, husband at the time said, I sound like I had 5 billion husbands. I did not, but I don't know how to refer to them. So I should just say husband. But he said, it's like a three-legged coffee table. And it really was. It was like, we were a coffee table and now one of the legs is gone and we're just out of balance. Our life is different now. And it was very, very different. So let's go back to Richard Rohr a little bit. And I'm so, thank you so much all for like hanging out and trying to, I told you we have hairpin turns, trying to keep up with me today because so much is going on. But I think if I look at someone who is a mystic, and then maybe we get a little bit from the Bible, I'll tell you a little bit more about Jason and try to get my thoughts to you as to what I was trying to say when my lack of foresight caused my battery to go dead and lose everything. I said this to Jason. You all know a little bit about his dad. I said, you know, Jason, all life is supernatural. There is no earthly reason or explanation as to how I know you, love you, and needed you myself. In the war, your father was a radio man, a vital communicator between life and death, between safety and danger, between souls making it back to each other. Your father gave me and Doc, the medic. I think I read this to you already. See where I'm at? Anyway, and you to me and Doc. Your open arms and eventually Alicia's two saved me more times than I can tell you. Our three-point connection, West, Middle, and East, me in California, Jason in the Midwest, and Doc out in the East, kept me grounded during groundless times. All that is pure love. I think I did read that to you. I apologize for repeating it. But what the mistaken thing is to say that God put me in his life when his father first called me to tell me, asked me if I would speak to his son, who was then very, 10 years younger than he is now, in his early 20s, with his diagnosis from the hospital. His father might not have. He was doing what God was nudging him to do, but he might have thought, well, I can help his son. Well, I hope I did in some way, but this God never does things for one person. God, what I said to him is what I hope to convey. And I said to him when I was with him too, is that it's not like I suppose I did help him, but he has no idea how that handoff during that phone call that day by his father, who didn't know when he was going to. He died 3 years after that. That did keep me grounded during some very groundless times of my own. And it's not like I held on to it or I talked to him at that time, but a little text out of the blue, like, hey, doctor, they used to call me Dr. FFF. It was a kind of an inside joke from when Wendell, his father was going through some times of delusions, not delusions, but when he was delirious from medication and he had a hallucination. But anyway, he would just say, you know, it's Veterans Day and my dad's not here to say hi, so I'm saying hi. And somehow just that would ground me in a moment, the connection that we all had throughout the country. It was an amazing thing to watch over these last 10 years. So we've got a couple minutes to this end of the segments. Let me finish with Father Rohr, because I think if you just bear with me, this will all come together. I hope. All right. So we left with him saying that you cannot make God love you any less, not an ounce, but you could probably love yourself less. And then he says, you cannot change the divine mind about you. The flow is constant and total toward your life. God is for you. You can't diminish God's love for you. What you can do, however, is learn how to believe it, receive it, trust it, allow it, and celebrate it. Accept Trinity's whirling invitation to join in the cosmic dance. Catherine Lacugna ends her giant theological tome on Trinity with one simple sentence. It's taken her 2.5 inches of book to get to this one line. And I'm going to read you that one line on the other side of the break. We're walking together in Dr. Michelle Live. I am Dr. Michelle. 573-4BREAD-4. Text or call.
If you like what you hear on Dr. Michelle Live, please consider supporting the show by becoming a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support today. Thank you. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. You can log on to find the archives and check yesterday, which I don't think was posted until today. So check yesterday because it's all about Jennifer's birthday and the great lesson she had for us, which I hope I can get to its conclusion today. But I might not because all these different things have come up and caused great diversion as we're going through our little hairpin turns. So I'm going to finish this writing from Father Richard Rohr. When he's writing a whole treatise on the Trinity, but this came up today in a perfect time, as I said in the beginning of the program. So I'll repeat a little bit here. He says, Catherine of Lacugna ends her giant theological tome on Trinity with one simple sentence. It's taken her 2.5 inches of book to get to this one line, and its simplicity might overwhelm you, but I can't end in any better place than she does. And he quotes her, the very nature of God, therefore, is to seek out the deepest possible communion and friendship with every last creature on this earth. Read it again. The very nature of God, therefore, is to seek out the deepest possible communion and friendship with every last creature on this earth. Then he goes on to say, that's God's job description. That's what it's all about. The only things that you can keep I'm sorry. The only things that can keep you out of this divine dance are fear, doubt, or self-hatred. What would happen in your life right now if you accepted being fully accepted? It would be a very safe universe. You would have nothing to be afraid of. God is for you. God is leaping toward you. God is on your side, honestly, more than you are on your own. And then he ends for the next segment tomorrow. Very beautiful. And that sums up everything that we've brought together, I think, for all these times we've been on the air, but also that we bring together in these last couple of days with my experiences in the last few days and the deaths that happened, the deaths that are looking like they're imminent, the relationships, the changes, the different venues and thoughts, family, friendship. And that will get me to, oh, I want to talk about this so badly, and we may not have time. Like defining, how do you define family? And that's why I read you the things that I wrote to Jason, the text I wrote to him and to his wife, because I'm in a place with my family. And in some respects, I love them. I love them more than life itself. But I was given a new family. And when I look, sit back, it's not new. You're my family. I was handed an actual tangible new family. And it's not just pretty words or some Hollywood feel good movie. This was real and true. And it had a long, at least 20 year legacy from 1996 with my first meeting to today and beyond. And at some point, I am sleeping in their room in a little tiny house with one bedroom, being part of their family. But being like, and I do believe that the circle in Jason's life, his heart has entwined with mine, has entwined with Doc's, has entwined with all the people around him, people I know, people I don't know, people I just met. His family that I've known for all these years too. But his circle, may the circle be unbroken. The circle, it is a divine dance. It is a divine circle dance. But the circle of his heart needed to be complete. He was alive and energetic and driving cars and laughing and staying up all night and going to, making sure you're comfortable. He doesn't eat. He was being fed through a tube, making sure you had pizza, making sure you had a towel, soap, taking down to the throwing food into the fish, going out in the boat, having his personal time with each person. He was connecting those dots, that circle. That's what Richard Rohr is talking about. It's beautiful. Hopefully I can give you a link to this or just put it up, because I'm not sure I can link to it. So when I look at what happened yesterday, now I know the podcast, check it out. It's yesterday's podcast. I don't remember what our show notes say, but it was about Jennifer's birthday. And the fact that she had all these birthdays that had so much disappointment, and the last one was crying alone in her bathroom, and she decided it just is a waste of time. And yet you can hear it all better from yesterday. I don't recall everything we talked about, but it was basically that, wait a minute, I'm looking for my fulfillment in other people. I'm relying on other people who have had history of disappointing me to not disappoint me this year. Well, what's that going to turn out like? We can pretty much bet. So what did she do? She said she took matters in her own hand. She invited some Facebook friends locally, they didn't even know each other, to lunch. They all met, and here's what she writes. My birthday yesterday rocked. Best one ever, or at least of recent memory. Great lunch with friends that I arranged. Great dinner with other friends and some family that I arranged. I'm 38 and people brought presents to dinner. What? That was quite a surprise. They toasted me before we ate. It was awesome. While I was out to dinner with the ladies, my older daughter made me chocolate truffles. Amazing. I ended up with 4 cakes yesterday. Ha! Great day. Now talk about the hummingbird and joy of life. Talk about God's gifts, God's joy. And what was God's gift there? God's gift was there through not only just grace, but because through his constant 38 years of life, 39 years of life for this lovely person, Jennifer, our producer, and all these disappointments and all these family patterns and all these life patterns and all these personal patterns. And as Richard Rohr says, you know, it's about what you feel about yourself, that she decided, wait, I'm looking in all the wrong places. I'm waiting for that, like I said yesterday, that chocolate cake to be in the refrigerator that wasn't there 2 minutes ago. I'm waiting for people who constantly disappoint. I'm not saying about her personal family or her kids or anything. I'm talking about just the things that she told us. You know, just people in life, they disappoint you. And we tend to say, let's put out one more crumb for them to see if they'll bite. People do this to the very end of their parents' 95th, 96th, 97th year, waiting for that one moment. And that one moment oftentimes never comes. God says you need to rely on God and rely on you in the God in you. So when I'm looking today too at this, you know, yesterday we had the archangels, and so we kind of had a really cool thing about the archangels. And when you look at what oftentimes is our, what we think is our life, and we decide who is our family, I think it's really important to take a look and see the angels, the messengers, because angel means messenger, around you. In Isaiah, it said it was not a messenger, an angel, but he himself who saved them. Because of his love and pity, he redeemed them himself, lifting them and carrying them all the days of old. Blessed be God forever. So that was from Isaiah. But the idea is that God brings people together, and you can then, at that choice, through, as Father Rohr says, through fear or doubt or self-hatred, decide, man, it was just a meeting. Oh yeah, that's my job. I'm supposed to just know them for 10 minutes because that's what my job says. But no, why can't you find other and new ways? Why can't you think outside the box? I remember when I first, way back, 4 or 5 years before I got the call about Jason, I left my area and I told many of the soldiers, I said, because I know how hard it was for them to lose people. So I said, look, because one of them said, you're going to be like I used to do in the choppers. I'll put you in a chopper. You'll be gone. I said, no, I will not be gone. I will have to be something different. I will not be your doctor and I can't be your friend necessarily. It'll be something different. But I just leave that up to God and we'll see, you know, whatever. But you're welcome. You always have my phone number. You'll know how to get a hold of me. And now I am here 20 some years later to see the privilege that I've been able to see of a man whose only wish was to experience love. And he died 10 years ago or 7 years ago. And I watched him. I told you many times, I watched that happen. I didn't know I was seeing it at the time. It's after these years are going by, and then I see how it's sowed, and it keeps sowing, and it keeps growing, it keeps receding itself over and over to this moment. He didn't know. I didn't know that 20 years down the line, I'd be invited into the home of his daughter-in-law and taken in as a cherished family member, and that I would feel the same about them in this very odd, unusual capacity. How would I know that? I couldn't know. You don't know either. Jennifer didn't know until this birthday what a true celebration of birth can be about. So you, today, you celebrate your birth.
to listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.